Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourning is part of almost everyone's journey, but how quickly we would turn away from it if we could. Being in grief is not a comfortable place. What is promised is that those with the courage to mourn will find in the wake of their grief a strange blessing. That after the sadness is expressed, the severe pain released, it is as though some love at the heart of life wraps its arms around us and says, I am with you. I hear you. I understand. There are those who can't mourn, and they bear a terrible burden, because without mourning, we can't heal from grief. Our culture conspires in not facing deep loss. Margaret Mead said, when a person is born, we rejoice. When they marry, we celebrate. But when they die, we try to pretend that nothing happened. For many, death is a subject to be evaded, ignored, denied. There is sometimes a reluctance to be around those who are grieving deeply. We don't know just what to say, we don't know what to do, and their grief reminds us of our own. Robert Weston said, autumn we know is life en route to death. The autumn of grief has a clinical name. It's called anticipatory grief. At the end of life, the dying person's need for acceptance of death often shifts them into a place of relinquishing attachment. This is usually takes the form of withdrawing emotionally. It's a complicated time both for the dying and for their family members. All involved swing back and forth between wanting to stay close and detaching enough to deal with the anticipated separation and loss. I encourage family members to try not to take this detachment personally. It's not about us. Sometimes in their confusion, family members overcompensate and become extremely emotional or detach and almost abandoned the dying, complicating their own grief with feelings of guilt. When a person is dying and wishes to talk about it, the best thing that we can do is to listen. But the closer we are with that person who is dying, the more difficult that is. We often aren't able to listen the first time a loved one brings up their own death. And that's okay, for only our own death is harder to face. When you are ready to listen, just let them know when the opportunity presents itself, and don't worry, the topic will come up again. Let them carry the conversation. They need to set their own pace. If they want to talk about their death, but they are shy or afraid, and usually folks are afraid of burdening us, merely show your interest and willingness to listen. Don't worry about saying the wrong thing. If they know the truth of their own condition, there's little that we can say wrong. And much to my relief, folks who are dying don't really expect us to say profound things or to have all of the answers. Let us reach out to one another, reach out to the spirit of life, trusting that life reaches out to us, bringing us comfort and strength. The loss of a parent, a child, partner, brother, or sister are among life's most profound losses. When a loving tie is severed, so is a part of who we are. No wonder that our grief is deep, and it seems that our pain won't end. But with support, with permission to grieve, and with patience and effort, the pain will end, though we will always have times of sorrow at the loss. But in the midst of winter, I discovered that there was within me an invincible summer. These words by Albert Camus speaks to our surprise at moments of happiness, contentment, and yes, even joy in the midst of our grief. These moments are a special blessing because they reassure us that we are going to be happy again someday. But that assurance, too, can slip away. As January can bring an unseasonably warm day, only to be followed by gray skies and biting cold, so our mourning has its thaws. Each time the shadow of our sorrow lifts to reveal the sunlight of hope, hope seems less of a stranger. Those periods of sunshine, that warmth, they are real. Even in the wintry distress of our pain, we believe in summer. It is life calling to us through our sister, the earth, saying, I have wonders in store for you, even if you can barely believe it at this moment. Summer is waiting for you. Beneath the snow and beyond the storm. When in grief we long for the return of the life lost, and also for our own life, the life we knew, the life we were used to. Annie Dillard puts it well. She says, I have been thinking about the change of the seasons. I don't want to miss spring this year. I want to be there on the spot the moment the grass turns green. But our grief can be preoccupying. For a while, it seems to take all of our energy and attention. It's natural to immerse ourselves in the shocking new world of loss until we, in some sense, get used to it. In time, we begin to pay attention again, and soon we find we don't want to miss the grass turning green. For no winter lasts forever, and no spring skips its season. Opening our hearts and our minds to allow for a period of mourning puts us in the cycle of life, but it is a cycle that we alone can bring meaning to. It changes us, our seasons of grief. What enables us to answer the question, who am I now? Who am I now? When we are able to live into that answer, to live into that question, then spring will surely follow winter. May it be so for all of us.